Great to see you here today. How many like to be deceived? Anybody? You like to be deceived? None of us do. How many have been deceived? Raise your hand if you've been deceived. All of us have been deceived. And every time we get deceived, we feel a little bit bad about it. So today we're going to be thinking about that. You can turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews in chapter 11, even though our main verse is faith comes by hearing. Where is that found, by the way? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and I hope you memorize that one for this year as we go through the year. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is through the Word of God. And so we're going to be thinking about that today. But today we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11 as we begin today. But I have something else that I'd like to show you and see if you can figure this one out, okay? When you look at that, what does that look like? What's the pattern? Circles. Everybody think it's a circle? Spirals? What are they? See all those squares? How many think those are concentric circles? So you know what most people see when they look at that? They see all these things that are kind of like spirals and all mixed up and all going in a different direction. In reality, if you take the time to really look at it, those squares or those little dots are all concentric circles, and they are perfect circles. And it just doesn't look like it. In fact, I can see some of you looking like, that is not true. He is not right. But if you take the time, and I can give you this, you can look at it, that is true. We are often deceived. We often think something is concentric circles when it isn't, or we think it's spirals when it isn't. We often are led to a conclusion that is not correct. In fact, what you call that is counterintuitive at times, counterintuitive thinking, that the thing that seems to be right is not right. The same thing that seems to be wrong is not wrong. And all of life is filled with counterintuitive thinking. For example, a couple weeks ago, I brought that up. We talked about a helium balloon in your car. When you hit the brakes, everything goes to the front. Which way does the helium balloon go? Because it's the lightest in there, it goes to the back. It is counterintuitive. When you drive on ice and you're going down a road and all of a sudden your car starts to swerve to a certain direction, you want to turn to the left. When you got to turn to the right, you got to go counterintuitive. All of life is full of counterintuitive thinking. And you know why that's true? Because all of life as we know it is filled with what is natural. And the natural is in conflict with the spiritual. And if you let yourself or your kids just do what's natural, it would always be the opposite of what is spiritual. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. The two are contrary. They cannot be in the same page. And we understand that almost everything you do in life, you got to do the opposite of what comes natural. You got to do the opposite of what seems to be intuitive. You have to be counterintuitive. And today we're going to be thinking about that, and we're going to start our year with that as we think of some of those things. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says something like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For it, by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. As you read down through this, you recognize that we as people have a natural problem. And what is the issue? I've been told again and again that we as Christians know too much. That our problem is we know too much. We don't need any more messages that give us knowledge because we already know it all. That our problem is not that we know too little. We know too much. We just don't practice it. But I remember one of the men sitting over here looking at me the other day and saying to me, the truth is, Pastor, we are biblically illiterate. That was quite a statement from one of the leaders of our church to say to me, we are biblically illiterate. We do not know enough. But the world tells us we know too much. Our problem is not, here's if you think about it, is this. It is not that we know too much. That's never been a problem. I don't care how much my doctor knows. I just hope he knows enough to do what he's doing on me. He can't know too much to be a good doctor. I don't care how much my mechanic knows. I hope he knows more than what he does. That's for sure. Our problem is often we have seen people who know things but don't understand things. And they can rip off verses, they can quote verses of Scripture, but they don't understand them. And we see that particularly in the life of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people who could quote vast volumes of Scripture, but they did not understand it. And therefore, they wrongly interpreted it, and therefore, they wrongly used it in their lives. And Christ had to say to them, you have heard that it's been said, but I say to you, the problem is not that we know too many verses, that we know too much Scripture. The problem may be, like the Pharisees, we don't understand what we can quote, what we've heard before. Or, as James says, and we're in our Sunday school classes, we're doing the book of James, and James chapter 2 says to us in verse 14, what good is it if you have faith and you don't have works? In other words, sometimes we know, but we don't understand. But James says, sometimes we know and even understand, but we don't do it. We know we should exercise. We understand why we should exercise, but we don't exercise. Anybody here have that problem? Like me? I know I shouldn't eat that much chocolate. I understand why I shouldn't eat that much chocolate, but I still eat chocolate. Anybody have a problem? Sometimes our problem is that we know and understand, but we do not practice what is right. And so the issue is, in our lives, as we think of 2015, do we know too much? And I'm here to tell you today, you don't know, and I don't know enough. And I don't understand enough. And I don't practice enough. In fact, here's the issue. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. In verse 3, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. You know that particular thing. And as we approach the last days, and every day is closer to the last day, so we are in the last days according to the book of according to Scriptures. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, etc. Because we're self-centered, we will turn from truth. And we'll become a people who turn away from. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 says, by nature, we will turn away from truth. I wish I could have shared with you what it was like just a few days ago to be with my son, and he had some friends over, walking over to his neighbor. And here's a very smart person who has a very good job and thinks he's really brilliant. I wish I could share with you how he just talked to me, and to realize he's totally wrong, 100% wrong in his understanding of moral standards established by God. 100% wrong, but he totally thinks he's right. Our world has turned away from truth. And sometimes that infiltrates the church of Jesus Christ. And if I'm not careful, if I'm really honest, it infiltrates my heart. And pretty soon the things that I used to think were true, I suddenly throw them out like, doesn't matter, it's not true. And we turn away from truth. So what's the solution? As you know, and many of you have quoted Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, which says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, he's talking about, you know, the key is faith. Trust. And it's not just trust in anything or trust in yourself or trust in your trust, but it's trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't and what that has to do with is knowledge that is understood and practiced. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't sit down and try to figure it out on your own. Because life is counterintuitive, and your logic will come to this conclusion, but God's word may come to the absolute opposite. For example, what do you do with your money? How many think you should save it? How many think you should spend it? But when I'm standing in front of something I really want, my heart says, go spend it, because you want what you want. God's word said, you better be careful and be like the ant and save it, and be prepared for the future. How about raising kids? You give them everything they want and let them do whatever they want? Or do you believe God and say, you know what God says? Train up a child in the way he should go. Correct a child while there is hope. You understand a child left to himself is a disaster. That's what God says. Counterintuitive living. You could do that in almost every area of your life, whether it's raising kids, handling money, handling conflict. What happens when somebody hurts you? When Christ was reviled, he's reviled not again. You got to go counterintuitive. You got to do almost the opposite of what comes natural. When somebody hurts me, I'm going to smash him back. And Christ says, turn the other cheek. It's counterintuitive. And so we understand that the solution is we got to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean on our own understanding. Every path I take, in all your ways, acknowledge him, look to him, and he will tell you what to do. Should I lie? Sometimes it seems like I should. God says you never should. Should I cheat on my income tax? God says, well, my heart says, well, you know the answer to that one. But we all understand how life is full of counterintuitive, and it comes down to faith. And so that brings us to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want us to think today of how counterintuitive it is to be a Christian, how unnatural it is to be a Christian, how different we are from the world as a Christian, because the Word of God is something that's been put into our minds, and we trust it. And God says, don't lie. And God says, raise your kids this way. And God says, handle your money this way. And God says, this is what happens when somebody slaps you on the left cheek. You turn the right one. Then God says, and God says, and God says, and you trust in the Lord. And it comes down to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is the Word of God. So, here's the question we have to ask. We need to look to the Lord and trust Him. So the question we need to ask is this. What is faith? You got a good answer? I hope you do. I hope you have that one down. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, so we at least ought to know what it is. But a lot of us as Christians don't even understand what faith is. We think it's something that's a feeling. It's not a feeling. We think it's something like, you know, if I have enough faith, you know, I could move a mountain. Well, that's a true statement, but not the way we're taking it. What is faith? Last week we talked about in the world, even in the liberal Christian theology world, there are three aspects. There's facts, and there's fiction, and there's faith. And by that they say that faith is inconsistent with facts or fiction. There are three options. But in truth, faith is not inconsistent. It's not inconsistent with facts. Faith is not inconsistent with reason. So Hebrews chapter 11 helps us to understand in verse 1 what faith is. And hopefully we will get it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence or the assurance or the conviction of things not seen. Now you understand there are two statements there that kind of say the same thing and yet are developing and helping us to see something. You know what a hoped for thing is? You all know what that is, right? A hoped for thing is something you don't have yet. If you have it, you don't need to hope for it. When you sat at the Christmas tree, you're hoping you got a Christmas present. Once you got it, you don't need to hope for it because you already got it. Something that is hoped for is something that has not yet been received, something that has not yet happened. How many hopes do you have in life? Do you hope to go to heaven? This means yes, this means no. Do you hope to go to heaven? Do you hope you have your sins all taken care of? On and on it goes. You have a lot of hopes, many of those. You have not even seen them. You have not received them. They've not happened in your life yet. So what is the foundation? Why would you hope to go to heaven? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a confidence in what God has said that is so real in my heart and life that on the basis of what He has said, I actually hope to go to heaven. And I hope you do as well. You know, the world thinks we're crazy for that kind of a hope. You know, it's kind of a stupid hope. You know, it's not even happened. It's not true. You're kind of crazy. You're basing it all on a Bible called the Word of God and whatever. Faith allows us to have hopes. And faith is underneath our hopes. And our confidence in what God has said brings me to the position of saying, you know, I hope to go to heaven. And I'm pretty confident of that one. And I'm living like it's true. I'm living, like I am actually going to heaven. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what allows me to have hopes. Also, it says this, it's the evidence of things not seen. You know the word evidence is confidence or conviction or assurance. Things not seen. So there are things that have not happened yet, have not been received, that's our hopes, and things that are not seen. There are some things you have not seen. How many think that your sins are pardoned by the blood of Christ? Just say yes, all right? You do. Have you seen that? When have you seen that? You haven't seen it. It's something you haven't seen. It's invisible to us, and yet you have confidence in that. You live as if it's true. You live every day as if your sins are taken care of and pardoned because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Why do you do that? Why do you have confidence in something you haven't seen? And so the scientists might say to us, not all scientists, but some might say, I don't believe anything I don't see. Yes, you do. And we do too. There are things that have not been received, our hopes. And faith is underneath that. And so we have hopes in what God has said to us. There are things that we have not seen. They're not visible to us. We can't put our finger on them. And yet we have full assurance and full conviction. We have full confidence that they're real, they're true. And faith is coming to the point of saying, you know, God said it. I haven't received it yet, or haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to live as if it's absolutely true. I have that kind of assurance, that kind of conviction, I have that kind of confidence that I just wake up in the morning and I do it. Now, you might think that that has to do only with eternal things like heaven, but I hope you understand it also has to do with things that are very current in your life. And I've listed some of them. Raising kids. Are you going to have confidence that God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it? You going to have confidence in that? Are you going to live as if that's true, especially when you're raising your kids and it doesn't seem like it's working out so well? That's a hope that when they are old, they will not depart from it. That's a hope. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't experienced it yet. Do you live as if it's true, or do you give up on training your kids and let them go? What are you going to do? Faith allows you to have hopes. It allows you to have convictions about things you have not experienced and have not seen. How about handling your money or all the other things that I've said? How about handling conflict? How about whatever it is? Are you going to run with what God says and have a full confidence that it's right, even if it's not happened to you yet, even if you have not seen it yet? Hebrews chapter 11 helps us understand that faith is a total confidence in what God has said that allows us to live with real hopes, even though we have not experienced them yet and we have not seen them yet. Now, some of you fly airplanes. I have never flown an airplane. You don't want me to fly an airplane. I've flown in them, though. I like that, but I don't fly them. But I had a friend who flew airplanes, and every pilot here would tell you that story, I'm sure. He said, you know, and he was just an amateur, and he flew his little plane around and whatever. He said, you know, you get into a cloud bank, and you can't see anything except the clouds. He says, you got to totally trust your instruments. You got to look at this thing that says you're level or you're upside down or whatever it is. You got to look at that thing and tell you if you're going up or going down, because all around you is this cloud and you can't see anything. He says, you know, almost always when I got into that situation, I would tap my instruments because I knew they were wrong. But I knew they were right. You have to live by the instruments or you will crash. And when you walk through life, and you and I walk through life, the world and our natural reason at times, the intuitive part of us will say, do this for your kids, do this with your money, do this when you have conflict, do this when somebody hits you. And God's word is the instrument that says, no, here's how you handle that. Here's how you live. And with everything inside you that says, I am upside down, I look at the instrument and it says, I am right side up. And the world's going to scream at you and tell you you're upside down. The world's going to laugh at you and say, you believe that? You are on the wrong side of history, my friend. And you're going to look at God's word and say, no, I'm right. I can't see it. I haven't experienced it all yet, but I have such confidence in God's word that I'm going to live as if it's true. And so we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So you say, well, how does faith then direct my life? What benefit does it have to have a faith like that? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 and on down through there, helps us to understand something about it. Here, notice what verse 2 says. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. You understand, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 2, 3, and 6, says, they got a good testimony. They got a good report. As you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it's, of course, the story of the heroes of the Old Testament. And some of them weren't so great people, but all of them had faith. And so on the basis of their faith, they did all the kinds of things that they did. And it says at the end of chapter 11, verse 39, because they did what God asked them to do, they gained a good testimony. And here he uses the word in verse 2. He starts chapter 11, ends chapter 11 with the same word, with a good report, a good testimony. Do you know what faith allows you to gain? A good testimony, a good report, God's approval. You did what God wanted you to do, and God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope you understand, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, you trust Him. You do exactly what He tells you to do in life and living, and you have a good report. You have His approval. He'll be happy with you. But I want you to think about it for just a second. Is it only God's approval that He's talking about? So today, you have a choice to raise your kids the way God wants you to raise them, or the way your natural instincts will raise them and the world raises them. Which are you going to choose, and where is it going to end up? I believe that it's not only the good report of God that you receive when you do what's right, but it's a good report of men. And people are going to look at you and say, wow, how did you raise your kids like that? What did you do? Your kids turned out nice. Or handling your money. The world's going to look on and say, wow, how did you do that? It comes to conflict. In conflict, it's natural to do things in a natural way. And God's going to tell you to do it a totally different way. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. The world's going to look at it and say, wow, you didn't even hit him back. Wow, you didn't even swear. Wow, you didn't even criticize him. Wow, you actually prayed for him, and you forgave him, and you treated him with respect. And we could go down the list, the litany of all the aspects of your life and mine. And the key to a good report, a good testimony, the approval of God and the good testimony of men is when we do it God's way. And they're going to look at us and say, wow, I think this is true at Shawnee Baptist Church, but I won't talk about Shawnee Baptist Church because you're here, okay? But I know it's true in the other churches I've pastored. You know who McDonald's wanted to hire? Our kids. Do you know why? Our kids had a work ethic. They were honest. They showed up on time. They worked a full day. They did what was right. They were living the way God wanted them to live. And the manager of McDonald's in Leroy, New York, would do anything to get our kids. Do you understand? The world looks on and says, wow, I don't know what you're doing, but I want my kids to be like your kids. I want to be like you. I want to handle disaster like you handle disaster. I want to be like you. Maybe they don't say it, but we can gain a good report. Just doing what God wants us to do gets His approval, and often the approval of the world around us. But it's more than that. Notice next in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How do you explain the worlds? Now that word worlds does not mean the physical universe that we see around us. It includes that, the stars and the moon, the sun and the world and all that kind of stuff, but it means more than that. It means all the events and all the people and all the universe, all the things that have ever happened. How do you explain that? Well, you have gone around enough to know that there is an explanation that the natural world is giving to us, that it just evolved over time. We cannot scientifically prove creation. We can't do that. But we don't need to. By faith, here's what it says in verse 3, we understand. Do you know what you understand simply by faith? That God created the heavens and the earth. And as it says here in verse 3, He made something that we can see from something we cannot see. Try to explain that one without God. Just try to explain that there was nothing and then there became something called the universe. Try to explain it, and you cannot. Faith allows us to gain God's approval, Faith allows us to understand what God has done. And so sometimes we're frustrated with evolutionists. Do not be frustrated with them in the sense of angry with them. They're giving the explanation that comes natural to them. You take God out of the equation, you'd come to their solution. It is by faith that I believe this. It's because I take God at His word. And He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that. Amen. And it did it by the word of God. He just said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Explain that one. I can't accept God. Faith allows me to gain God's approval, to do what is a good report. And it allows me to understand things. Now, He uses creation there, and you and I would love to debate that and discuss that. We love to do that. But think of so many other things in life that you understand, not because it's natural to understand it that way, not because every logical person in the world comes to that same conclusion. Something that you understand because the only reason I understand is because God told me that. So the next time somebody wrongs you, by nature, you're going to hit them back. And God says, don't. You would not understand that except through God's word. This morning in our Sunday school, we studied James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Try to explain that one to a person without God's word. You can't. I cannot understand how the trials of my life perfect me. I can't understand that except I can understand God tells me that. And by faith, I can gain God's approval. And by faith, I can understand what God has done. You created the world. What God tells me to do. Faith allows me to be a God person. But one more thing. Verse 4. By faith, Abel. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Verse 9. By faith. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah. And you go down that list in chapter 11, and you understand it was by faith that Abel worshipped. Him and his brother, they didn't have a lot of kids around, I guess, at that time, and so the two of them had to come up with an offering. And one brought the product of the feud, and one brought a blood sacrifice. Why did Abel do that? Why did he pick the right one that pleased God? Why in the world did he do that when Cain did the other? It seemed like that'd be natural. God would be happy if I brought him some wheat or oats or barley. It's because Cain, by faith, accepted what God had told him. And he worshiped God the way God wanted him to be worshiped. Faith allows us to accomplish what God asks us to do. God says, here's how I want you to worship. We go do it. You know, Abraham, he went and he wandered and he waited. He didn't know where he was going, but he went anyway. He didn't get a home, but he wandered anyway. He didn't see that city whose builder and maker is God, but he waited. How in the world did he do that? It wasn't by natural reason, by intuitive thinking. It's because he had total confidence in God that God said, you go and I'll show. And he went and he waited. And you understand that when it was all done, God commended him and he did exactly what God asked him to do. Even though it didn't make sense. You can go to Noah. Can you imagine standing there building an ark when it's never rained and everybody else is laughing at you and it's going to take you 100 years? I mean, this is ridiculous. But by faith he did it. Not because everybody says you're doing the right thing. Not because it made a lot of sense. He did it because God told him to do it and he trusted God. And you understand that faith allows you to accomplish what God asks you to do. God asks you not to strike back when people strike you. You can do that because you, by faith, accept what God wants you to do. God wants you to train your kids right. God wants you to handle your money right. Well, God wants you to, you name it. You can do it, and you can accomplish the impossible. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is almost about the impossibilities of life. Some worshipped and some went and some waited and some all the other things. And they all seem almost impossible, but they did it. Do you understand Moses, when he was in Pharaoh's household, at age 40, was going to be the next King Tut. He was in line. He had all the riches of Egypt, and it was in the most elegant period in the history of Egypt, and it was all his. By faith, he chose not that, but bear the reproach of Christ with the people of God. And you can read about that in Hebrews chapter 11. How did he do that? Why would anybody give up all the riches of Egypt for the reproach of Christ? By faith. How do you sometimes give up all the things that this world could offer you so that you can do what God wants you to do? It's not by logic, I'll tell you that. It's by faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's underneath all of my hopes. And it gives me the full confidence of things that I haven't even seen, but I'm totally confident today are there and they're right. And faith allows me to do that. And therefore, I can gain God's approval as well as men's. I can understand what God has done and is doing, wants me to do. I can understand it. It doesn't make sense up here, but it makes sense as I read God's word. And it allows me to accomplish what God asked me to do. So anybody here want faith? You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. With faith, you have all of this going for you. So the real question is, so how do we gain faith? Do you pray for it? You may if you want to, but it doesn't say in Scripture that's how you get faith. Do you really work at it? In American Christianity and international Christianity today, there's a huge movement about, you know, name it, claim it, and all those other things. If you have enough faith, boy, you could be healed. If you have enough faith, you'd be rich. If you have enough faith, health, wealth, and success, you know, you just got to work it up. Do you just work up your faith? You think of your kids growing up, and you want them to be men and women of faith who accept and trust God and His Word. That's what you want. How do you do that? You tell them every morning, now, I want you to have faith today. I want you to have faith today. I want you to have faith today. I'm praying for you to have faith today. I want you to have faith today. You understand that the Scriptures only give us one passage to tell us how you get faith. And you understand that it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is not their father, their Sunday school teacher, their school teacher, the books that they read, the television that they want. Some of those may be good, some of them may be bad. The hearing is through or in the Word of God. That's what they need to hear. And if faith is what is needed for me to gain God's approval and to understand God's plan and to accomplish God's will, if that's what I need, faith, and that's what my kids need, guess what I need to do? I need to hear the Word of God. I need to spend time hearing, understanding, grasping, bringing into my life a steady diet of God's Word. And that's why it really bothers me when people tell me, we already know too much. Maybe you do, I don't know, but I have not met anybody that I have given a test to that knows too much. Maybe you don't understand enough. Maybe you don't practice enough. There's only one way you can have faith. Faith comes by hearing. And the hearing you need is the hearing of the Word of God. And rather than me telling you, you already know too much. You can quote so many verses of Scripture, it's time for you to start practicing them. If I had my way, I'd make you hear more of God's Word. More of God's Word, more of God's Word, more of God's Word. Not just they're spoken, but they're spoken in a way that you understand them. And spoken in a way that you can understand them so that you can make a choice whether you practice it or not. And that's, of course, a personal choice. But you know what happens when you do that with your kids? You keep bringing them the Word of God, 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 helping them to understand the Word of God. Just help them to hear the Word of God. You know what happens? Same thing that happens to you and me. And that's why I love kids. They're often not polluted by all kinds of other stuff, you know? And the little kid says, "But the Bible says, but the Bible says, but God says, but God says, but God says." And they trust God. They actually believe, trust, have confidence that what God says is right. But God said He created the world. You know little kids who stand with their teachers sometimes and say, "But God says He created the world." God bless those kids, and God bless us when we have the confidence in what God says to just simply say it. And that's why you spend so much time just reading God's Word to your kids. And you read it and read it and read it, and you don't have to explain it always. Sometimes you do, but not always. You know what kids pick up? God is good, Satan's bad. Sin is bad and always has punishment. Heaven's a great place. You got to believe in Jesus. I mean, they got it. The little kids got it. Your kids got it. My kids got it. My grandkids got it. You ask them a question, they get it. They got it because they were reading, had the Word of God read to them. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And our challenge for you today, as we begin the new year, is this. Do you have a steady, consistent diet of God's Word? And there's 1,000 ways to do that. You can get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and get out your Bible and read through it. That'd be great. Some of you don't get up at 5 o'clock. That's all right. You can do it at 7 o'clock at night. Some of you are going to read through your whole Bible in 1 year, and there's some pamphlets here that you're going to take home if you'd like to do that. That's great. Some of you say, "I don't like that. It goes too fast. I don't spend enough time." Some of you are going to just read through the Gospel of John. 1 year I just read through the Gospels. I just read them and 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 read them. And it changed my life. I became more like Jesus because I read about Him all the time. There's a book here that I can give you. It's a free book from the saints. Some of you are involved in saints ministry. The Pathway to Discipleship, a yearly devotion. The first one to grab this at the back from me can have it for free. It's a really nice book. 365 days of reading God's Word. You can do that. Some of you use Our Daily Bread. There's all kinds of patterns and paths that you can take. Many of you have YouVersion on your iPad or on your phone. I'm not here to tell you which one to do, whether it's the yearly Bible reading or the Saints book or YouVersion. But I am here to challenge you today. Do you have a consistent, steady diet, input of God's Word into your life? And I'm also here to tell you today that not only do you need that personally, you need that corporately. We need to be together to read, understand, and put into practice God's Word. You need that. And the more, you could almost say this, the more I read, hear, understand God's Word, the more I'll be a man and woman of faith. And some people can't figure out why they don't have faith. I say, "How many hours do you put into reading, hearing?" "Not very much." End of discussion. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is through the Word of God. Well, an unknown author said this, "I have hope for the worst man as long as he will read his Bible." And I do too, don't you? The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can cut through the outer crust of your life to the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And you know, no human can do that. I do not know what you're thinking, and I do not know what your motives are, and it always bothers me when people make judgment calls about their thinking, their motive. You don't know. You only know what people do and what people say. But you know, the Word of God cuts through all that and go deeper than any person can, and it knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. You know, cut through to that. I have hope for the worst man as long as he will read his Bible. I am full of fear for the best man if he neglects his Bible, for he is almost certain to fall before the enemy. And I don't know who the author is, but he's pretty smart. And it could be you, because you would have written the same thing, and I would have written the same thing. I'm going to challenge you today to say to God, I will have a consistent diet of God's Word, and I don't care how you do it. I really don't. If you need help, I got all kinds of options for you. Pastor Aaron has all kinds of options for you. Pastor Corey has all kinds of options for you, and the people sitting next to you have all kinds of options for you. But do it. Do it personally, and do it corporately. Be with God's people. We have Sunday morning. We have Sunday school. I wish more of you came to Sunday school. I really do. Not because we're trying to fill numbers. I never look at numbers. I hope you know that. I do not know how many people are in Sunday school. I don't ever want to know how many are in Sunday school or morning service. I don't care. I want you in Sunday school because in Sunday school you'll hear the Word of God. And you will learn. And there's midweek Bible studies and there's personal, I don't care what you do, just get it done. Because remember where we started? We can easily, in the last days, be fed a lie, a deception, and think it's true. And as every kid there picked the wrong two colors, so would you. Because when I looked at it, I picked the wrong two colors. It was an optical illusion. It was a deception to me. And except the Spirit of God through the Word of God works in my heart, I would fall for every stupid thing the world has to offer. And so would you. Which leads us to the last story, which I've told before, but I have to do it many times in my life. In philosophy class, I only learned about two things, but one of them was this, you know, is it true? That was one of them. But the other one was the story of the king who ruled his realm. And because he was a king, there was a well within the palace that only the king could drink from. And the king could drink only that water, and he did, and it was pure water. But outside the palace, where everybody else drank, was another well. What they did not know, it was filled with a chemical that was slowly infiltrating their brain. So they all became actually fools. But they didn't know it. And it took years for it to happen. And slowly the whole population is becoming stupid. They're becoming fools. They're not thinking right. And the king who was drinking the right water was thinking right. But you know what happened after a while? The people outside looked at the king inside and said, "You're not thinking right. You're wrong." And because he stood alone, and he knew he was right, he had to figure out, what am I going to do when everybody tells me I'm wrong? That is where we are as we walk through our world. The whole world's going to tell you you're wrong, going to tell you you don't make sense, going to tell you it's not right. And we're drinking from the pure water of the Word of God, and we know it's right. And with that king, you and I have to make a choice. Do I continue to drink the water from the pure Word of God, and everybody's going to say I'm nuts? Or do I walk outside and start to drink from their well until my mind becomes like their minds? And we're all going to be happy and think we're on the right path when really we're not. That's the choice I have to make today, and so do you. Faith comes by hearing. And the hearing you need is through, that's a key word, through the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, our hearts cry out to you to help us. In the last days, perilous times will come. If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Father, we understand that we're surrounded with people who have drunk from the wrong well and think they're right. They honestly believe with all their heart they're right and we're wrong. And we're going to be intimidated by them if we're not careful. We're going to be moved by them, influenced by them, And Father, I pray that we just keep reading the Word of God. I pray that for Shawnee Baptist Church, and I pray that for our children, whether we're just parents teaching our kids or Sunday school teachers or Wired people or Awana, we're just bringing them truth. Father, I pray that we would see more of us involved in the teaching of God's Word. I pray that many of us would come to the Sunday school. And I know habits have been formed and people have not come for years, and I know it'd be tough next week to come to Sunday school after years and years of not doing that. But I pray that they would. I pray that we would have a steady, consistent, faithful diet of your word. And I pray that all the ministries of Shawnee Baptist Church would be noted for one thing, that we teach God's word. That if you want to go to a place that you will be taught the word of God, then go to Shawnee Baptist Church. I pray that would be the reputation we have in our community. Whether they like it or not, that would be a badge of honor for us. Help us, Father. Bring us closer to love your word. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all of the day. Through it, you have made me wiser than my enemies, and you've given me more understanding than even my teachers. I thank you for that. Bless our day. Be with us tonight as we gather together to honor your son. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.